Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you for the ride here on this Tuesday, very chilly Tuesday in Marion. Tuesday, October the 18th, 2022, 13 minutes past the hour, 38 degrees and mostly cloudy skies. 38 degrees. Can you imagine that? I don't remember the last time I've ever come on here in the morning and said it was 38 degrees outside. Been quite a while, I think, since we got below the 40-degree mark. Although, wasn't it early in October, one night we did get down below freezing? I don't think I was on the air that day. I think that was a Friday into a Saturday that we got below 32, if I remember right. But certainly I don't remember announcing any temperatures in the 30-degree mark for quite a while. Yesterday we were just over 40, but today we're definitely over 30. You know what's funny when we talk about the weather? All I have heard this week from several different people is we're going to have snow, we're going to have snow, we're going to have snow. Now, clearly, if we're going to have snow this week, it's just going to be a dusting. Probably not even what we would call a dusting. You might see some flakes outside, and that's about it. But people are acting like this is a huge event. I think people have lost all track of time this year. It is October the 18th. There are only 13 days left in this month, and we'll be into the month of November. Of course we would start to see a little bit, little dustings of snow. I don't know where the time frame got screwed up all this year. I remember people saying, boy, it's warm for May. And then, boy, I can't believe the kids are going back to school. And then, oh my goodness, we're this close to the holiday season. I don't know if the year blew by or people got all off their regular clock schedule. I'm not really sure what happened, but it's about that time that we would start seeing a dusting here and there of snow in mid-October. So that's the way the show goes. If you have anything to say, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. Always love to hear from you, the listening audience, 740-751-4038. Do want to remind everybody again, we announced this yesterday. Last Friday, we started the Fruitcake Toss entry process because people were already starting to enter people. We were going to wait for November 1st to start entering people in the Fruitcake Toss, but it was getting such attention and people wanted to be entered that I thought, well, let's just start it now and see what happens. But the date we gave last Friday, we did have to change. I announced the date on Friday of the Fruitcake Toss, and then I realized we had a conflict in the date. So the Fruitcake Toss will now happen on Thursday, December the 15th, at 7:10 p.m. And you'll want to get there about 7 o'clock. The reason we're saying 7:10 p.m. is because that's when we'll go on the air that night. So you'll probably want to be there about 7 o'clock. But we'll broadcast this. It'll be on from 7:10 until 8 p.m. on Thursday, December the 15th, and we'll toss those Claxton fruitcakes. Now, so far, we have three entries into the Fruitcake Toss. We have Pastor Whitaker, who was entered by Frank, his friend. We have Buckeye Guy, super fan for Ohio State University, who was entered by Sean. And we have Fruitcake Lily, who was entered by Sarah. Now, other than that, we have no entries at this point. Last year, we had a lot of entries, and we've got to get to 30. We've got to have 30 entries. Now, remember, the caveat in this, you have to call the people and tell them they've been entered. And you also have to tell than when the date is. And the date is pretty stuck in now, December 15th at 7:10 p.m. Now, here's the thing. Last year, Mary Ellen Withrow was entered, and she was going to participate, but she had a death in her family. Mayor Kellogg was entered. He showed up. Jason Schauber, city councilman, was entered, but something was going on. I think one of his pigs got loose or something that night. Sheriff Bales was entered, but he had something come up. But a lot of that, I think, had to do with the fact that we were just telling them the week before. They really did not have much preparation time. So if you want to enter somebody in the fruitcake toss, now would be the time to call them and let them know so they could get it on their calendar, because the holidays are a busy time. And here we are, December the 15th. We have the date we can give them. December the 15th, 7 p.m., and at this point it will be at the radio station like it was last year over on South Prospect Street. So, does anybody have any ideas on, and there will be a prize for the winner. Now, I believe, I'm sure we wrote it down somewhere last year, that the kid over at Donato's threw that thing 70 feet. I believe that was the new record. Ralph Thacker was the original record holder. He won the first fruitcake toss back in 2018, I believe with 40 foot. And then we did not have one in 2019 because we were moving offices. We did not have one in 2020 because of the pandemic. We returned back last year, 2021, and the kid from Donato's won, throwing it 70 feet. I believe it was 70 foot. I still don't know how that was done. But if you're new to the fruitcake toss, basically you walk up to the line. You have a real Claxton fruitcake in your hand, and you underhand toss it. And we mark off how far you threw that fruitcake. So that's how it happens. But I think most people from the station were in it last year. I was in it. Sean was in it. Terry was in it. Linda was in it. Adam was in it. Glenn was in it. All of us were in it. And if you have trouble getting a hold of some of these people and you want to enter them, I can most likely give you their phone numbers if you don't already have them, or I can try to contact them via Facebook if there's no phone number to reach them, if we don't have their phone number. But right now, it's just Pastor Whitaker, Buckeye Guy, and Fruitcake Lily. Now, so far, Fruitcake Lily is the only person who will be making a repeat appearance at the Fruitcake Toss, because Pastor Whitaker was not in it last year, and Buckeye Guy was not in it last year. So this will be interesting to see what happens. Now, we do have to get at least 30 people for this to happen, because the first year we did not have a whole lot of people, but we didn't advertise it a whole lot. We've got to get 30 people entered to make sure they're going to show up. Now, by my count, all three of these people are going to show up. We've got confirmation from Pastor Whitaker, Buckeye Guy, and Fruitcake Lily. Beyond that, if anybody's got any more entrants, let me know this morning, 740-751-4038. Or if you have any questions regarding the fruitcake toss, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. You know, it's interesting. Since we switched over to digital, one of our longtime listeners, Judy Summers, had a hard time getting us digitally because there was something going on with her Fire Stick. Now, last week, she went and got a new Roku television, and she got us hooked up, and she was listening to us, and she called in one morning, and we got to hear from her, and that was great. And then I haven't heard from her since, so I hope nothing else happened with Judy's Roku television. I know she was having some difficulties there. So, Judy, if you're out there listening on the Roku, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. I know she was also going to try to get us hooked up on her Alexas, which if my Google Dot, which essentially is an Alexa, works kind of with the Roku television. because I don't remember downloading any apps to the dot. It was kind of if you already had the app downloaded on something in your house, it would work through the Alexa or the Google Dot because it's a free service. TuneIn is a free service. So all you had to say was, hey, Google, or hey, Alexa, tune in WWGH, and it would come up. So, Judy, I hope the Roku television is still working, and I hope everything's going well. If it is, give us a buzz and let us know, 740-751-4038, because I know Judy was a big proponent of the fruitcake toss last year. I believe she entered Mary Ellen Withrow and Mayor Kellogg and Sheriff Bales, and I believe she tried to get the mayor. And, you know, we might get the mayor this year if somebody calls him early enough. Sarah was also a big advocate of the fruitcake toss. She entered quite a few people. You know, I don't know if Ralph Thacker is able to listen anymore because of the digital switchover, but he was our first fruitcake champion. So if somebody knows Ralph, I hope they're able to get him and get him entered. I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, I am hearing some weird noises right now here in my house, and I have no idea what it is. You know, it's music. Can you hear that in the background? You know what I think? When I was talking about the Google Dot, I think the Google Dot kicked on. It must be very sensitive, but I did not say, hey, Google, play music. So I don't know what's going on with that. You know, these things can hear you talk all over the house here. You know how far I am from the Google Dot now? I'm like 20 foot from that thing. I can be sitting beside it and it wouldn't hear me, but here now that I'm 20 foot away, it hears everything I'm saying. It must know I'm doing a show. But in any event, you know, that is very disconcerting to have music in the background like that. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you have any thoughts on the fruitcake toss, and remember the new date is December 15th at 7:10 p.m. at the radio station here in Marion. All right, what else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, I'll tell you something on the agenda with me. Has anybody else had trouble getting up in the morning? I'm telling you, these cold mornings and dark mornings, you know, I have to turn the light on when I get up in the morning and go through the house to do my normal morning activity. It's tiring. You don't want to get out of bed. You know, once I'm out of bed and I'm in the shower and I'm up and moving, then everything's okay. But goodness gracious, this dark and cold weather will certainly want to make you stay in bed. But you know the odd thing on the weekend? I don't think about it. Normally, I wake up at the same time, and I can't stay in the bed. So I don't know if it's just because there's work ahead or something like that. But is anybody else having trouble with the dark and cold weather getting out of bed in the morning? If you are, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. At 740-751-4038. Oh, then I had an issue yesterday. Of course I would have an issue yesterday. You know, I had a tire issue with my car. My tire light was on for the longest time, and one of my tires did eventually bite the dust, and I had to buy a new tire and put it on the car. And ever since then, I've been good. Now, that was probably back in February, so it's been quite a while ago. Well, yesterday, I'm driving home from work, and my tire light came on. So I go around to all four tires, and I don't see any of them looking all that low. I don't see any of them looking even the slightest bit low. And I'm wondering if it had anything to do with the weather change, because it doesn't look to me like any of them are going flat. So I don't know. Does anybody else have this trouble with those automatic gauges in your car, where the little light comes on, the sensors, I guess is what we would call them? It's just an odd thing that sensor kicks on, and then you're paranoid because you're thinking, well, is one of my tires going flat? Does one of them need air? And I wouldn't even know which one needed air because they all look fine. So I don't know if the weather really... It's always interesting to me, what impact does the weather have on your tire pressure? I know it must have some, because every time there's a weather change like this, two things happen. People start getting headaches, and number two, the tire pressure starts going up and down and out of whack in your car. So does anybody else notice this? That the tire lights have come on in their car, or the tire pressure's going all wacky? 740-751-4038. But that was my little pet peeve yesterday, was the tire light, low tire, low air, or whatever it means, coming on in the car yesterday. So I was not particularly pleased with that. We had Lizzie Post on the show yesterday. Now, Lizzie Post is the... great-great-granddaughter of Emily Post, who was the Queen of Etiquette. And we learned yesterday that it has been 100 years since Emily Post published her first book. So there's a new book out, the Centennial Edition of the Emily Post Etiquette book. And we had Lizzie Post on yesterday talking about etiquette. And it's kind of interesting because I posted that interview online, being digitally oriented now here on this station, and boy, were people interested in that interview. That interview got a lot of attention online. And I was surprised about that because I didn't know if people would remember Emily Post. I didn't know if people would know who Lizzie Post was. I didn't know if people would be interested in etiquette. I didn't know if that was a subject that still interested people, but it certainly did get a lot of attention online, so I found that kind of fascinating. You know, etiquette's a very interesting thing, and as I was telling Lizzie yesterday, I really think that there are certain things we should do. Now, I disagree with Lizzie. Now, yesterday, if you missed the show, there were two instances where Lizzie says that I did not have the proper etiquette. But I think that she was mistaken because she wasn't around during the actual situations. Like, she said that I should not tell people they look rough. But again, as I was explaining to Lizzie, when I tell somebody they're looking rough, now that doesn't mean that they look awful. What it means is I think there is an underlying cause to why they're looking rough. Because if you look fine every day, and then one day you come in and maybe you've got lines under your eyes, or your hair is kind of all messed up to one side, or you just look kind of, you know, down. I'm saying you look rough, because I don't think rough says ugly. I don't think rough says awful. I think rough is a much milder way to put it. And basically what I'm getting at when I'm saying you look rough is I'm saying, did you have a rough night? You know, are you tired? Were you up all night thinking about something? Was there something on your mind? You know, I'm trying to get to something without prying like crazy. Now, she didn't like that. She felt that I should not say that people look rough. But I've got to disagree with Lizzie Post on this. I just think it's okay to ask if somebody looks rough. Now, what do you think out there in the listening audience? And I will tell you, this is no a false story. I have asked people if they look rough. There are people in society who would vouch for the fact that I have done this. Now, do you think this is an awful thing to ask if somebody looks rough? 740-751-4038. And I'm not here trying to question the validity of Lizzie Post's knowledge on etiquette. She is the great-great-granddaughter of Emily Post. But I think that sometimes when somebody's having a rough day or something, you've got to have a way to get at the problem without coming right out and getting in their business. And that's my way of doing it, by saying, do you look rough? And would you be offended if I said you looked rough? I mean, looking rough is not a permanent trait. It's just that day. You look a little rough today. Okay. Well, why do you look rough? And then you're off and running usually into the problem. So I don't know. Do you agree with me that it's not such a bad thing to say, or do you agree with Lizzie Post that that is an awful thing to say? 740-751-4038. Now, the other thing I took issue with Lizzie Post in regard to was an actual event. Now, I'm not going to say who this event happened to, because, you know, I want to protect the innocent here. But here's what happened. I was with somebody, working with them, and they told me, because they are always tan, and in Ohio, that's kind of hard to do in the winter months. Like right now, it's kind of hard to get a tan in Ohio. So I said to this person, do you go to a tanning bed? Do you use tanning cream or something like that? And they said, no. Okay, well, I'll believe that. So one day, with this knowledge, I'm walking down the hallway with this person, and that particular day, they just happened to wear their hair up, which doesn't happen every day. So their hair was like up in a ponytail, and I was walking behind them, and as I see the back of their neck, I notice the back of their neck is not the same color as the rest of their body. Well, at least the, you know, hands and face that I can see. And I'm thinking that if this is a natural color, it would cover your neck. You know, if this is not spray-on tan or rub-on tan, and it is not a tanning bed, that this would, your natural skin color does not change on the back of your neck. So all I said was, I said, hey, you know, the back of your neck is not the same color as the rest of your body. Now, I honestly said this to be helpful. I said this because I didn't know if they knew, because how many people see the back of their neck? And I thought, you know, you could drop your hair down and eliminate this problem, and maybe other people would not be seeing the problem that I'm seeing right now. So again, I was trying to be nice, but I guess when you tell that story on the whole, it may come off bad. But again, I had nothing but good intentions in telling them the back of their neck was not the same color as the rest of their body. It was not me trying to call them out on using a fake tan or going to a tanning bed. I mean, what do I care if somebody uses a fake tan or goes to a tanning bed? I mean, that's their own business. I hope they're safe. I know there's all kinds of issue with that right now you hear about. But, you know, people make their own choices. So what do you think? Do you think I'm in the wrong here? 740-751-4038. When it comes to those two situations, telling somebody they look rough, which is really just to get at the problem, and pointing out to somebody, now I did this in private, by the way, I didn't do it in front of a group of people, pointing out that the back of their neck is not the same color as the rest of their body when it comes to a tan, are these wrong things to do? Are these really improper etiquette, as we would say? Now, Lizzie Post felt so, but don't be swayed by Lizzie Post. Let me know what you think in general when it comes to these two issues. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you think that those are improper things to do? I just don't see them as improper. But that could just be me. You know, I might be a little woozy with not wanting to get out of bed because of the dark and cold weather outside. I don't know. I just don't think they're all that bad. But that's the Lizzie Post interview did get a lot of attention yesterday, and I'm glad for that because it's an interesting subject. All right, what else did I want to talk about here this morning? Well, here's something I wanted to talk about, and I think this was in the paper yesterday, but I'm not really sure, because I don't get the paper. But I think the paper did an editorial yesterday on the upcoming fire levy. the Marion City fire levy, which will, I think it will be on the November ballot. And this is to build a new fire station in the city. And I guess the tentative plans would be to build the fire station somewhere out in front of the hospital. Now, there's been a lot of fear in this fire levy because people think it will not pass because we won't pass any levy in Marion because we don't want our tax dollars to go up. Now, I remember when this first went on the ballot, or the idea first went on the ballot, probably way back in May or June, that we had the firefighters on this show, and they had talked about putting it off several years because they didn't feel it would pass. And that their big obstacle would be letting people know what it was for, and how much it was going to raise their taxes, and things of that nature. Well, here we are. I believe the elections are November the 8th, and it's October the 18th. So we've got 13 days left in this month and 8 days next month before the election. So we're at 21 days away from the election. And do you feel like you know about the fire levy? Has there been a lot of literature sent out to you? Do you think that it's going to pass? Because as I talked about with them back in May or June, the big obstacle is going to be letting people know what this is for, why it's needed, and what it's going to do to their taxes. And I don't know if that's been accomplished. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not telling anybody how to vote, but I levies are hard to pass. School levies are hard to pass in this area right now. MRDD has trouble. I think they have passed a few, but seems to be very difficult to do so. It's tough. The Council on Aging, I think, has had some issues with levies. Do you think the fire department has done a good job in getting the word out for the fire levy? Because we're getting down to crunch time here, and as I say, I believe the newspaper was talking about it, and I think it came in the form of an editorial. Did anybody see this in the newspaper? Because as I say, I have not seen Sunday's newspaper yet. Did anybody see the article on the fire station and can kind of fill us in as to what they said? I know it was kind of a weird headline that they endorsed the fire levy, but they still thought consolidation was a good idea of some of the firehouses. I think that's kind of how it read. But give me a buzz if you saw that article in the newspaper, or if you have any thoughts on the fire levy in general. Do you think it's going to pass? 740-751-4038. There aren't a whole lot of races here in Marion coming up on election night. We just have the county commissioner race, I believe, between Dr. Davis and Kathy Masters. But other than that, the things to watch that night are, I think, going to be this fire levy, which people are highly interested in. There's, I think, a levy out in River Valley that people will be interested in. Of course, we're going to be interested in the state treasurer's race with our mayor running for state treasurer. That'll be interesting. And, of course, the governor's race. I think a lot of people are interested in the governor's race. And I also think a lot of people are interested in that Senate race with Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance. So those will be the big things to cover on election night on November 8th. And, of course, we will have that election coverage. Did anybody see that article in the newspaper in regard to the fire station? Or does anybody have any thought on if that will pass or not? You know, there was a day, if the firemen or the police officers or the schools or the senior citizens or the people with developmental disabilities went to the citizens to try to get a levy or bond issue passed, more than likely it would pass. But those days don't seem to be here anymore. Something has changed. Does anybody know why now it's so difficult to pass a levy like this? 740-751-4038. You know, we got a new sheriff's office, but I think that was all done internally. I think the I think the money came from the county commissioners. It was allocated, and I don't know if there was grant money. I can't remember exactly the particulars of the new sheriff's office. But the sheriff's office was a really tough situation, because the old sheriff's office out on Williamsport Road had become a real mess. There was flooding and sewage and all kinds of problems with that building. So there was really a need to relocate that. I don't know if people know the need to relocate the fire station. Now, I'm not saying there's not a need to relocate the fire station, but do the voters know that? That's the big question. Do the voters know that there is a need to have a new fire station in Marion? What do you think? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you think that fire station levy is going to pass? I don't know at this point. And I'm not even sure if high voter turnout will be good for it, or if low voter turnout will be good. I don't know. I guess we'll all find out come election night on November the 8th. But it should be interesting, I'll say that. It should be an interesting night. Now, here's something I want to talk about. And again, I've talked about this a little bit, but as we get closer to these elections, this puzzles me more and more and more, because it's on television all the time. Do we have the best people running for office that we should? Because I don't know what's going on with this particular election cycle, but I keep hearing and seeing all of these people who are running for office. And it just seems like a lot of them are running because they are well-known people. That there is really no qualification for these people to run, except for the fact that people know them. You know, Dr. Oz is running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Herschel Walker is running for Senate in Georgia. And, you know, I'm not even sure. You know, what prompts people to run for office? Because, you know, I think about our mayor, for example. He has been a city council person. He's been mayor for 15 years, and now he's finally going for his first state office. Now, Senate is one of the highest offices in the United States Senate. This is not even state Senate that these people are running for. I don't get it. I really don't. Now, anybody can run for office. This is true, and I'm not denying that at all. Run for office if you want to run for office. But the shock to me is that these people get so far. They get through the primary, they get to the general election, and who knows, they might win. And if they win, well, you know, I guess what their state wants to do. But what is shocking to me is that if you're a known name, will people vote for you? Is that really all there is to it? You know, we've started to see this. This started a long time. Ronald Reagan ran for office. Now, of course, he was a movie and television star. But Ronald Reagan had been governor of California, so he did have some experience. And then we got Jesse Ventura, the wrestler, governor of Minnesota. Now, honestly, Jesse, I have to say, he had been mayor of a town in Minnesota, I believe. So he even had some prior political experience that nobody really ever talks about. Now, I'll tell you one who really did not have any political experience was Arnold Schwarzenegger when he became governor of California, but you know, it was governor, it was not senator, it was not anything of that nature. But it just seems like there is much more of this going on. You know, when Ronald Reagan ran, I can't think of any other people who were Hollywood that were running for things. When Jesse Ventura won, I remember that was a shocking thing that he won. Wow, how could he win? You know, he's not best suited for this office. And when Arnold Schwarzenegger won, that was a big story. And that was a runoff election. But now, we just kind of say, well, okay, that person's running. Let's give him a fair shake. Everybody keeps talking about the Herschel Walker one. And you know what? That one doesn't interest me at all, that race. Number one, I don't live in Georgia. And number two, all the bad press that's coming Herschel Walker's way, you know, I guess that happens in politics. And the other guy's not getting any attention. Now, here's the problem. Even when you write something bad about somebody, which they're doing with Herschel Walker, they're giving him national attention. And that's not helping the other guy at all. I know people who don't live in Georgia who watched their debate this past weekend. And I didn't watch their debate. I don't even know how. It was probably on Google or something, YouTube. But I think they're just giving Herschel Walker a lot of attention. And I don't know if that's going to be good for the guy he's running against. I mean, I've seen him, but I can't even remember his name. So that's not a good sign. Now, hopefully the people of Georgia know his name, but I certainly don't. The one that baffles me is Dr. Oz. Maybe it's because Pennsylvania is right next door to us. And I still don't understand how Dr. Oz got from TV, because I believe his television show was still on last year. And all of a sudden, now he's running for Senate. Now, this man is a doctor. And as far as I know, he's still a practicing doctor. Now, what would propel this man to run for Senate? Does anybody know? 740-751-4038. The Dr. Oz one really does blow my mind. I keep thinking, now, why is that? What is that all about? Why in the world? And he does have support in Pennsylvania. So I think at some point you got to say, well, he's got support. He won the primary there. There was a pretty tough Republican primary there, I think, in Pennsylvania. But what are the reasons to vote for him? Because when I go into the voting booth, I always think, okay, why am I voting for this person? What is it about them that I think they're qualified to do this job? And Dr. Oz, I obviously will not be voting in that election because I don't live in Pennsylvania, but what in the world are his qualifications? When you step into the voting booth, what would you be saying as to why this man is the best to represent me in the United States Senate? And to be honest with you, I don't even care about the Republican-Democrat thing. I would be saying this if this was a Democrat. The Dr. Oz one blows my mind. Does anybody know? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I'll tell you why it blows my mind to a big degree. Because if he was not Dr. Oz, if he was Dr. Rizzo, who did the exact same job at the hospital, could he run for state senate and get as far as Dr. Oz got? See, that's the whole problem in this. If you took a person with the same qualifications who did not have television notoriety because of a television show or sports or something like that, if you took the same person with the same qualifications and ran them for office, would you vote for them? I don't know. Would you say that Dr. Rizzo, who works down at the community hospital, would be best for state senate? Or are we just voting for people we like? You know, that's been one of the things years and years. You know, we vote for the person we'd like to have a beer with rather than the person who may be best suited to do the job. I guess personality is a big part of it. I don't know. What do you think? 740-751-4038. 52 minutes past the hour. And again, this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. This, to me, is just, where do these people come from? Do they wake up one morning and say, boy, I'd like to run for office? So that's a subject here this morning. Where do these people come from who are running for office who probably don't have any qualifications? Do you think the Marion fire levy will pass coming up here just about 21 days in Marion? Did anybody read that story in the Marion Star about it? If you have any answers to any of these questions, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, I do want to remind everybody, the date for the fruitcake toss has changed. It is now Thursday night, December the 15th at 7:10 p.m. at the radio station. And so far, we've got Pastor Whitaker put in by his friend Frank, Buckeye Guy put in by Sean, and Fruitcake Lily put in by Sarah. So that is the group that we have in now for the upcoming fruitcake toss on December the 15th. Now remember again, if you would like to enter somebody, call them now. Let them know when it is. Let them know where it is. And get confirmation that they will be participating in the fruitcake toss. So that's that story. If you have anything to say about that, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, the fruitcake toss was very interesting last year because we had a lot of people who really practiced to win this fruitcake toss. And in the end, it didn't go well for those people. The kid who won it was not the biggest. He was not the smallest. But yet, and I don't think he had practiced, to be honest with you. I talked to him a little bit that night, and I don't remember him telling me that he had practiced throwing a fruitcake, but yet he won. I mean, we had Big Mike McGinnis in it last year from My 600-Pound Life. A lot of people had put money on him, but it didn't happen. A lot of people had put money on Ralph Thacker because he had won in the past. That didn't end up happening. We had some people who really thought they could take care of it. You know, Sean and Terry, a lot of people thought they would do very well. I think they were about average. So I don't know. I don't know what the secret is to the fruitcake toss. You know, I've tossed one at both fruitcake tosses, and I don't know what the secret is. I know it's an underhanded toss, but clearly there has to be something to it to get it as far as this kid got it, 70 foot, which I believe, I mean, I think that's as far as we had it set up. We never dreamed anybody would get 70 foot. And here this kid put it in the 70-foot mark. So, there you go. Fruitcake Lily, Buckeye Guy, and Pastor Whitaker are in so far. If you have any questions or would like to enter anybody, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, the fruitcake toss will take place on Thursday night, December the 15th. At 7:30 p.m. Thursday night, December the 15th, at 7:30 p.m. What a night that will be. Fruitcakes galore flying through the air on South Prospect Street. Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, if Santa Claus will be there. I have not had a chance to call Santa Claus yet to set that up. So we'll see if Santa Claus will be there that night. Now, last year he was there, and last year he did toss a fruitcake. So that was kind of nice. So we'll see what happens this year. We'll see if Santa Claus shows up. I believe Ted Williams was also booked last year. I think he ended up having a conflict of interest. But, you know, Ted used to be very good at baseball. I did not realize that until last year, but he had a very good, I believe, pitching arm. So had Ted shown up, he might have done well. Who knows? You know, Mayor Kellogg did not do poorly. He did pretty well. And as I said, Mary Ellen was supposed to participate, but she ended up having a death in her family. Who knows how well Mary Ellen might have done? It's all technique with that fruitcake, to be honest. I don't know what the technique is. I couldn't tell you that, but I can certainly tell you that it is involved. Technique is the high way to victory for that particular event. All right, 58 minutes past the hour, still 38 degrees here in Marion. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a call if there's anything on your mind or you have any comments on anything we've talked about this morning, from the fruitcake toss to the people running for office. Are they qualified? Do you think the fire levy will pass? What did you make of Lizzie Post being on this show yesterday? Do you think that I had poor etiquette in the way I approach certain people in life by telling them they look rough, or the back of their neck is not the same color as the rest of their body due to, I believe, chemically enhanced spray tans or tanning beds? I wouldn't know the difference, but apparently you're not allowed to call that to people's attention. Has your tire pressure gone down because of the colder weather? I think I experienced that yesterday. Or, you know, if the tire pressure hasn't gone down, eventually I'm just going to end up with a flat tire is what's going to happen. So let's hope that that's not the case. Let's hope it is the weather and not a tire going flat. That's not something I really would want to deal with at this particular point of the year as of yet. All right, we're going to break here on WGH Talk for about 15 minutes. We're going to come back and talk some more. So get those dialing fingers ready. 740-751-4038. Back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. That's if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing. Boy, does he have a good book.
Thank you.
I love you, and I thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
First Lady of Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
Well, now, Phyllis, I saw you on Biography doing a ghost story. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, for the money they gave me, I did temporarily.
Ah, that's the best answer I could have asked for. That's perfect. So the money was right.
Oh, boy, was it, darling, and I just adored my ghost.
Legendary stand-up comedian Marty Allen.
Yeah, like physically, what can't you do now that maybe you could do 20, 30 years?
I beg your pardon. Let's not get into that, Scott.
Is everything physically still okay?
As far as I know.
Have you ever had any kind of health problem in your life?
What are you, a doctor? I thought you wanted to interview me about Ernie Borgnine. Now you keep asking me all these questions. It's a good thing you're not here. You'd probably ask me to take off my shirt or something.
And legendary pro wrestler Captain Lou Albano.
Well, God bless you, and you're a gentleman and a scholar. You're often imitated but never duplicated, and I'd like to say you're a great guy. So whatever you're doing, keep doing.
Live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.